Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
But first, Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Now, this news that came yesterday about the US and the UK signing off on their new trade deal, will it be challenging for us here in the EU to get a deal with President Trump before these higher tariffs that are promised, that they're coming in July? Will we get in under the line?
I think it is a big challenge, and obviously we see the pace of negotiations has been slow, but we're working very hard with the European Union. Maro Sefcovic has a huge amount of experience and he's had a number of meetings with the US administration, but it is key trying to point out the integrated relationship that exists between the US and the EU and how important it is for both our countries. Mm-hmm. And the critical point is that we want to get to a stage where we have a zero for zero agreement, and that will be so important. But it is challenging. I think we all are aware of that.
But why do you say it's challenging, given what we saw yesterday? Like, the UK has managed to do it, so why is there a challenge there for the EU?
Well, I would absolutely welcome what has happened between the UK, but I wouldn't say they've managed to do it, because when you look at the detail we've seen so far, there's a huge amount of challenge. It's a very much a quota system, and obviously there are still tariffs under the quota. And when you know a few of businesses who are exporting, if their margin is somewhere between 7, 8, 9% and you have a 10% tariff, well, that really hampers their chance of keeping a profitable existing product line. So there's huge challenge still. But I would say is that you would be very much aware, and your listeners, over the last number of years, we've seen how hard it is to negotiate free trade agreements. The pace has been very slow in the EU and right around it low. But when you consider the US administration now and their bandwidth, they are literally trying to negotiate with so many countries and so many blocks right around the globe, which is a significant challenge, trying to get your voice heard over in the US administration.
You seem sure, though, that the EU wouldn't accept the deal that the British government has.
I wouldn't say sure. I think it's a case that what we want to do is to have zero tariffs. If you look at the text that we know so far of the UK deal, obviously we can't comment too much on it because we're not aware of the full detail, but they are saying at this point in time that essentially the 25% tariff on cars would be reduced to 10% for about 100,000 units, but it goes back to 25 then, and 10 will be existing, which is very significant. And obviously on the other side, in terms of the importation for beef, etc., there's a huge amount in terms of 13,000 tonnes and ethanol that has been agreed over. So it's very difficult to say. It's still a quota system and you still have tariffs. And that's what we want to try and avoid. We want frictionless free trade. And that's what we want to get to. And it's underwritten by a rules-based system, and that we have a position whereby we can enhance the economic growth of both our countries, both all in the EU and the US.
The EU's starting position is zero for zero.
Absolutely, and that would be where we wanted to get. And you'll be maybe familiar with TTIP. That's the trajectory we wanted to get in the previous administration, and that will be challenging. But even if we can get some products clear, a solid commitment to have zero for zero and build upon that in the negotiations, that would be important.
Where are we in the queue? I mean, you mentioned all of these countries that are trying to get a deal with Donald Trump, and he talks about it all the time, that everyone's banging on his door trying to get a deal. Where are we in the queue? Where's the EU?
Well, I would hope we'd be to the forefront because of the fact that President Trump is a businessman at his core, and that obviously the EU is responsible for 2/3 of all foreign direct investment into the heart of the US economy. We have so much employment there, and that should be very important for his administration. And, you know, when you look at the US, all the cards aren't in their hand, because when you see at this point in time that consumer price index is at a 12-year low there, you could see a potential drop in their GDP by over 5%. And we know by potentially August or September, they're going to have to increase their debt ceiling limit to increase capacity in the economy. So they're challenged as well. And it's important that we say, we want to help you just as much as you can help us grow our trade, grow our relationship. It's the most integrated on the globe, and we want to continue on that path to benefit all citizens.
Look, I mean, you mightn't be crazy about the deal that Keir Starmer has managed to strike, but it is a deal, and perhaps they can move on from there to something that is a little more generous to the UK. And the question is, has their approach been the right one, and is the EU just being too aggressive here?
No, I don't think the EU has been aggressive. I think we have been anything but. And you'll be very much aware, prior to April the 1st, we made huge efforts to try and get a negotiated solution before any reciprocal tariffs were put on the table. And we have, at that point in time, in an act of good faith, when the reciprocal tariffs were suspended, we obviously suspended essentially our countermeasure. The 22 billion worth of countermeasures that are on the table, obviously published yesterday, with about 100 billion euro of countermeasures. But when you consider what the US has been doing, they have about half a trillion euro worth of measures against the EU economy. So what we have been doing has been very measured, very reasonable. We have to show our intent to defend our market share and how important the EU market is, you know, a market of half a billion people. But also we want to say is that we want a negotiated solution. That's the pathway that's going to improve trade and essentially have more business being done between both jurisdictions.
Yeah, but in Ireland, we really are in the crosshairs here, or could be caught in the crossfire, if you like, because the EU, they've mentioned the big bazooka of the anti-coercion instrument that would target digital services that the United States sells into Europe. And if that happened, it would be disastrous for us here, wouldn't it?
We are very much against that, and we don't want to see instruments like anti-coercion being used at this point in time. I think that would be a long way down the road, and hopefully something we never, ever get to, because that would be really a tit-for-tat and a huge escalation in the tensions. That's somewhere we do not want to go, because you're talking about export restrictions and some very nasty things in the EU toolbox. But there's more we can do now. We have the opportunity now to get to a negotiated solution. There are a number of proposals that are on the table on behalf of the EU. That gives us a good foundation to work upon, and hopefully that, you know, common sense will prevail, and the act of doing business to improve and to really reflect that trade does work. And that's going to be so important that we get that message driven home in the US. I'm heading out on Sunday, going to lead a trade mission in the Midwest as well. I have a number of meetings in Washington where we have Select USA. We have the largest delegation of Irish companies going to Select USA this week. And again, that demonstrates to the administration how serious Ireland is as a country about exporting into the US market.
And what members of Trump's administration are you meeting on the trip?
So we'll be meeting a number of obviously politicians in the House on Wednesday. They have a very busy week this week doing budgetary measures, but we have a number of meetings lined up. They're not finalised at this point in time. And obviously we will be demonstrating how important the companies we have. They are employing a huge amount of people, over 200,000 across 50 states, so many companies doing huge work in the US administration. And Ireland, as I often point out, the sixth highest foreign direct investor in the US economy. And when you consider, you know, the geographical size of Ireland, our capacity, that's an enormous contribution we're making to the US economy.
You're very limited in what you can say, you know, to somebody who's there from the Trump administration, because that's Maris Sefcovic's job, right?
Absolutely. We're very clear that we have the US jersey firmly on. But any time we get an opportunity to improve bilateral relations with the US and point out, as we're all off the one hymn sheet, we're all in unison, all 27 members of the EU, pointing out the importance of free, fair and rules-based trade. And that's the message we'll be continuing together to really point out to the administration. Obviously, Minister Martin Hayden has been there, had a very successful week. And the Taoiseach obviously had a very good meeting, Simon Harris, with Howard Lutnick. And it's important that we continue on that trajectory as hard as we can.
Just going back to the proposals from the EU, how they would retaliate if these trade negotiations with the United States fail. Bourbon might be left on the list, will be left on the list. I mean, that's something the whiskey industry here is really concerned about. Where does that stand today?
So at the moment, what happens is once the list has been published, which it has yesterday, we enter into a consultation period. So that means that all the member states get to engage with the Commission and Maroš Šefčovič and his team, essentially, you know, trying to make representations on areas of our economy which can be exposed. And you will remember the last time when the list was published for the 22 billion euro worth of tariffs that Ireland was successful in a number of measures. One of the key things we want to do is not to escalate any negotiation, which is critical. And we will work to try and ensure that the Irish economy is protected insofar as possible. But there are risks here, Claire, and we have to be honest about that. You know, if things escalate and get worse, obviously the EU has to defend its market share. And that does have very much a road paved with risk everywhere. But we don't want to get there. And that's why we're really working so hard with the Commission, with the administration, to ensure that we get a negotiated solution. That's our preferred path. And it's the one which hopefully over the next couple of months we can deliver.
Yeah, I want to ask you about cost of living issues here, because we know that food prices have risen by 3% in the year. Things like butter, and I'm sure most people who go into supermarkets listening to this programme will have noticed that butter's gone up by 25%. We've the Taoiseach again ruling out cost of living package in the budget. That's not going to happen, he says. But could that change, do you believe, if there is an all-out trade war between the US and the EU, and if that in turn then damages the Irish economy?
I think that would be very challenging, because if you look at essentially in the three budgets leading up to budget 2025, we put about 14.2 billion of cost of living measures into the economy, and some of those are being enhanced and improved. So it's not correct to say that we won't have measures this year, because if you look at, first of all, we're intending to continue on our public transport, a 50% cut for our 19 to 25 year olds, and also make our 20% cut continue that happened in 2022 and expand the 5 to 8 year olds who will get free public transport. We have, you will be aware of, the drug payment scheme. That was €144 back in 2018, now reduced to €80. That's a 45% reduction. Will continue. We know our primary schools with our hot school meals and free books. Again, that will continue. And families right across the country will continue to benefit from those measures, as well as tertiary education, which have improved in income, increase the grant thresholds, and also student fees. So those areas will continue and they will help families. But it is not sustainable, and this is a key point, you know, to continue with multi-billion euro cost of living investments every year, because what will happen, you'll make inflation worse. And one of the key things the government did get right, if you look like almost a doctor treating a patient, you know, you administer the painkillers, which we did try to cushion the blow, but eventually we did cure the disease. When you look at inflation, it was well over almost 10% back in November 2022. We've a taper back down to 1.7% and reducing. Obviously, food in some areas are continuing to be persistent, but the critical thing is we're reducing the inflationary rate, which has been key to try and get our economy back to more of a sustainable position.
But I suppose when you see food prices increasing in the way that we've just been talking about, the symptoms haven't gone, you know, and the problem is still there. And it's very acute, in particular for people who are on low incomes and use a significant amount of their household budget to pay for things like their food shopping.
Absolutely. And that's why through the tax code, we'll be looking through the summer economic statement, what capacity will be to help people who are most vulnerable, and that will be very important, and also helping businesses. So the cost of producing the food, we'll be continuing obviously with our 9% cut on our VAT rate for gas and electricity. Again, we know that energy is required for all production, and obviously for the hospitality sector, our proposal is still very strong to have our 9% VAT rate in, which will be critical, as I have advocated for so strongly in the past, to support that sector and assist it in a very difficult time of trading. But we have a huge amount we can do backing business, backing family businesses, and ensuring that we can keep our economy growing and sustain the 2.8 million people that are at work in our country today.
Minister Peter Burke, thank you for joining us on the programme. Now, as we speak, Pope Leo the 14th is leading his first Mass in the Sistine Chapel. We'll go live to Rome after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.